This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. During Black History Month, we're taking another look at calls for reparations in the city of St. Louis. 4 years ago, the northern Illinois town of Evanston became the first U.S. city to make reparations to Black residents for past discrimination and the legacy of slavery. With me now is Robin Rue Simmons, founder and executive director of First Repair and former Reparations Commission chair of Evanston. Thank you so much for taking time with us this morning. What were you seeing in Evanston that led to calls for reparations?
Well, I was seeing what we all see in most American cities, a racial divide. I was seeing, specifically in Evanston, that we had zoning laws that were discriminating. They were responsible for our racial segregation, physical racial segregation, our disparities in home ownership and education, and wealth and income and livability standards. And that was just not in the values, within the values of Evanston, Illinois. And as a city councilwoman at the time when I made the introduction, I realized that reparations are not only due for the harm of the institution of slavery, but all of its legacies would still live today in cities and states across the United States. And so that's what led me to call the question in November of 2019.
How long was this debated in the community?
Well, in Evanston, actually in 2002, I learned that there was a reparations bill, or actually a resolution that was passed supporting H.R. 40, the bill to study slavery and develop reparations proposals. So I was able to lean into what we valued in 2002. And in 2029, reignite that conversation. And so it was introduced in February, became an official agenda item in April. And by November, our city said yes to starting the complicated, unprecedented process of repair in tangible ways, committing initially $10 million of recreational cannabis sales tax to fund it, and eventually an additional $10 million from real estate transfer taxes as we continue to figure out how we repair our community. But we've learned that that first step is important, and there has been plenty of healing and learning, reconciliation and repair that has happened over the several years that we've been engaged in this work.
What do you say to arguments that are often posed when reparations are brought up, that slavery and other racial inequity is in the distant past and new generations have had the opportunity to pull themselves up so they don't need this funding?
Well, I will not ignore the progress that has happened. It has not been enough, and it has not been in the name of repair. We have not intentionally legislated and repaired harms for the institution of slavery, the crimes against the humanity of people of African descent in this nation and all of its legacies and vestiges. So we've had no uninterrupted time of harm or terror in this nation. So slavery was abolished, and then we, you know, suffered from the harm of Jim Crow era and mass incarceration and redlining and predatory lending and all types of environmental injustices in Black communities. So my response to that is we have not had redress. We have not had repair. We have not had justice. And reparations is a human right in this case, and it is due. There's precedent for reparations in other communities that have been harmed, rightfully so. There is incredible scholarship that's been done by Professor Cornell Brooks at Harvard Kennedy School that shows all the way the government pays reparations even today in harmed communities for incidents, for natural disasters, for terrorism, but just not to the Black community. And so many leaders now, after Evanston passed, we have inspired over 100 localities to begin their process of reparations. And so there are over 100 local initiatives for reparations, including St. Louis, but states like Illinois, California, New York, and more states are beginning to do the work as well. And all of us know that a North Star is necessary of H.R. 40. A federal response to reparations will be necessary for us to get to that full repair. But in the meantime, cities and states, institutions like the church and universities understand that redress is needed, it is justice, and are beginning their path to repair.
This is Robin Ruth Simmons, founder and executive director of First Repair. It's a nonprofit organization that informs local and national reparations. What form did reparations first take there in Evanston?
In Evanston, after a community process, and it's important to note that a best practice of reparations is that the harm community is informing and prescribing what redress is. So after a community process, the community landed on housing. And there were many recommendations, some outside of the purview of the city, some county, state, federal harm. But we landed on housing, so a $25,000 direct benefit to build wealth through home ownership and housing-related redress is what was the first form. That expanded eventually to include cash as an option. So a direct benefit of $25,000 was the first form. In the coming months, we will have recommendations for economic development. This is going to be more around business opportunity and entrepreneurship to build wealth in that way. And then the third component is education. And so we're looking at ways and how the city can address education. But right now, we're really proud that our school district, elected school district, has taken a very important action towards repair. And so that's been our first step, housing. Many other cities, including Tulsa, Oklahoma, long overdue for the horrific race massacre there, has selected to take housing as a first step as well. Palm Springs, California. Again, there's a long list of cities. And housing is really rising to the top as a priority in most localities. While we look for comprehensive redress and have plans for more comprehensive redress, we have to take a first step, understanding that little by little, a little becomes a lot. And that first step in Evanston inspired a national movement. That first step of $10 million increased to $20 million. It inspired our interfaith community to raise an additional $1 million to be a companion to this work. And it even increased the support of H.R. 40 in Congress. There were only about between 60 and 70 co-sponsors for H.R. 40 before local reparations became robust in the way that it is now, and eventually got to 217 yes votes and co-sponsors in the House. Now H.R. 40 is being led by Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. There is a strong co-sponsor in Congressman Jonathan Jackson out of Chicago. And so we know that there is a difficult path in Congress, but we do know that we have the responsibility, and we're seeing great promise in localities like Evanston and St. Louis.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, Robin, what would you say to a city like St. Louis that, you know, spent a year and a half crafting a plan for reparations? That report has been out there for not quite 6 months yet. What are the next steps for St. Louis?
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you and congratulations to a city that is doing very difficult work, just work overdue, but still we have to celebrate every milestone. The next step is to implement the plan, not stop at an acknowledgement and developing proposals, but really work to implement the plan, identify funding very strategically. A legal team will be necessary. The Academy is a great partner because there's going to be plenty more research and reports that are necessary, and find a safe funding mechanism to advance local reparations. We have found that our form of government, a home rule municipality, home rule taxes, were the most viable path to advance redress. But that was my next step. And then also for the community to begin to live a life of repair. It is not just a legislative issue, it is a cultural issue as well. So community members can begin to think about how they're practicing their consumer habits, who they're shopping with, who they're electing, who they are engaging in community with, understanding more how they might even continue to harm community members not knowing. So more education, personal education around redress and community commitment around reparative acts as well, to be a companion to the strong, bold leaders that are in the in St. Louis that have passed this legislation and all of its advocates. It is a community responsibility. It is all hands on deck. Every institution, every community member should be supporting this work in the way they live and serve and engage in community.
Robin Ruth Simmons, founder and executive director of First Repair, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.